Order, good afternoon, committee, and good afternoon, residents of Eugene and the area. It's good to have you here. Thank you for attending today. This is one of our redistricting field hearings, and on the back of your handout, you will notice the aggressive schedule that we have embarked on, and this is what we have left. Tells you that we are in Portland on Thursday night, the 12th, and are going to conclude our field hearings by April 24th, and then those hearings will revert back to Salem in the Capitol building. I'd like to invite your attention to our legislative website. That is available for you to send feedback to us on, and also written correspondence. You'll notice that you can write Marjorie Taylor, who is our redistricting coordinator, with any additional comments that you may think of after today is over. So again, we thank you for attending, and it's good to see you. Just want to take a moment to let our staff introduce themselves, and we're going to our Schutzer committee, and we're going to begin with Representative Walker.
Oh, I'm Representative Walker, and you're sitting in the middle of my district, and I'm coming to you
now. I'm Representative Cheryl Walker, and I'm from Conference 651 of Southern Oregon, between Med City Grants Pass and I-5 and California border.
Good afternoon. I'm Joanne Bercher, and I'm from District 47, and that's Goose Bay, North Bend, Reedsport, and Florence.
I'm Richard Devlin, representative from House District 24, Lake Oswego, and about 60% of Florence.
I'm Representative Steve March from Portland, and represent District 15.
My name is Bill Gerard. I represent Klamath Falls and Klamath County in District 53.
I'm Representative Phil Barnhart from South Eugene and Greater Goshen. It's good to see you all here today.
And I'm State Representative Cedric Caden from West Lane. Thank you for coming today.
I'm Carl Wilson. I'm State Representative District 49. That's Grants Pass and Cave Junction. Let me ask our members, any of us wish to testify today so I might know? Representative Hayden will. Okay. Representative Hayden, I want to make sure your microphone is on. It's the lower right button. If you depress
maybe I didn't turn it on.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you. As we begin our hearings today, just a couple of things to remind you of, and that is due to the increased number of people in the state of Oregon, we have new district population size targets. And as we show on the front page here of our handout, the average legislative House district now will have 57,023 people. Your Senate district will need to have 114,047 persons therein. We go by statute as we begin to form these maps that we're going to be working on, and the statutorial guidelines that we operate on are on the facing page of your second sheet here. And it will show you the contents of ORS 188.010. I won't read that to you. I'll let you do that at your leisure. So those are the things that we consider as we begin to put the testimony together, collate that, and begin to develop our own redistricting maps. Our hope as a committee is to have a plan on the governor's desk by Memorial Weekend. Statutorily, we're supposed to have this project done by June 30th. But it is our hope and our goal as a committee to have something on the governor's desk by Memorial Weekend. We're going to operate off of a sign-up sheet here today, and I apologize if I get your names wrong. I'm going to try to read them as I see them here, and so I apologize in advance if I happen to get any names incorrectly here. I'm going to begin today with Don Carlton, and if you just step up to the microphone, please, identify yourself for the record. It may seem redundant, but as we build a record, I need you to state your name.
We would like to suggest that the greatest place for our community is in the conservative organization, maintaining a community support on marijuana. We need a conference in the city, to develop a natural organization for canning. We all,
Good. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Next, we will welcome Bruce Rose, please. Okay, you're just here to observe. Thank you. All right, Mary Lou Mansfield, please. Yes, you can. Okay, you certainly can. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, that takes us to, and Ron Craig is going to do the same. Okay, thank you, Mr. Craig. I appreciate that. Thank you. Nancy Nichols, please.
My name is Nancy Nichols. I live at 9389 Douglas Street Road, which is about 10 miles north of downtown Douglas. John Garland, who spoke, is my neighbor. He lives in town of Douglas, across the street on the same block. I admit, we talked about a mile and a half away from mine, but in our part of Lane County, that makes it close to me. We live in a narrow strip of private land surrounded by sites from back and forth. We have a very active community organization, the community center, and all the fire departments in the area, about half a mile wide and 10 miles long. Unfortunately, the state of Oregon is great business and decided to easily divide this block between District 43 and 4, which is that it's too close. There are only 200 of us, that's around the area when you figure out the dividing of 57,000 people in our community. But we are split between two house districts and Senate districts. We have very little political voice in our county numbers, and that will say the cut in half of district line. No rural community could be cut in half. In cities, the growth frequently do divide neighborhoods, but in rural areas, the growth define the neighborhoods. I have an act of also yet, which identifies the private land of independence on that support. You can see it's white spot, that's private land. And those who stay together, not be divided up. I believe I'm speaking for all these small communities when we ask that we draw the district line through the national forest, preferably at the ridge top, to keep the watershed together. Our roads define our community, keep some reason to divide. You said it could look at all your world district lines, including Morgan. No small community should be cut in half.
Certainly, if you would hand it to Ms. Taylor, I'd appreciate that. Thank you for your testimony. Okay, next up will be Tony, and your last name starts with a W. Tony? Ah, there you go. Yeah, I knew that would happen. Tom, thank you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be able to testify today. My name is Tom Parker. I live at 3772 Pine Canyon Drive, Virginia, and 7405, South District 4. I am a businessman in Eugene, own major properties in downtown Eugene. For that purpose, it is important to me that a continuity of community interest be maintained for the different districts of Eugene. The district that I'm talking about are downtown, Oak Lake across the river, Franklin Boulevard, and Valley River, again across the river. The problem that we have in the district, and I don't see it as a problem, is that the river does divide across parts of the district. However, the river being dividing the Eugene, because of the fact that we have new transportation, method, remodeled and redone. We don't have a problem with getting back and forth on both sides of the river to maintain community interest. The city of Eugene, as I'm sure the mayor will tell you, is working with LPD to provide transportation on the business districts in Eugene, and as such, will maintain a community of interest and will help us to maintain our units to be able to. Be able to speak with one representative, to be able to have our ideas taken to Salem by one person instead of having it divided amongst two or three. So in that case, I would urge you to maintain, if you have to take some people away from District 41, so be it. But the idea of having the district in both. We're representing the community of downtown and the community of the business people in Eugene. I would recommend and probably encourage you to consider that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next up will be Jim Toy, please.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for coming to Eugene. I can tell you that we enjoy the fact that these 500 of us to come here and listen to our sense of beauty. I can also say that we're getting ready to do exactly what you're doing, but only in the city of Eugene. And I'm going to disagree with the previous speaker, but I'm sorry, a great friend of mine, and it's probably the strongest fundraiser for our library for cities ever had. So, Tom, I'm going to disagree with you. And I'm going to tell you why I'm going to disagree. I believe that in fact the legislature ought to even consider, particularly for larger communities, because these two people here who spoke about being divided in their rural areas certainly have a problem, and I empathize with them. But I have to tell you, we have the same problem here in the city of Eugene. And I'm going to leave you some maps, and I'm not going to try to show them to you right now, but I'm going to try to paint a visual picture, if you will, of what happened in our city. 10 years ago, the city council divided the city into 8 wards. And we elect city councilors within the ward, and only those people who live in the ward have a chance to elect that ward. Just as you do for your district, house representative district, or senate district. It's 10 years later now, and a lot of growth has taken place in our city. And a lot of that growth has taken place in the west, and in the northwest, and in the north. And frankly, most people would describe our city in the framework of Sheldon High School area, North Eugene's area, Atlanta High School, Churchville, and South Eugene. We'll take North Eugene out for a second, because it's actually, even though the school is in the city, limits it there because we need to be able to provide public safety services. The majority of people around that school are actually living in the town. 10 years ago, they made a decision as to where the ward boundaries ought to be. We have 21 elected and appointed officials in the city of Eugene today. 7 appointed city planning commission members, 5 elected to E-West, Eugene Water and Electric Board commissioners, 8 city councilors, and a mayor. Today, 17 of the 21 live south of the Atlantic River and east of Chambers Street, in an area that encompasses approximately 40% of the population of the city of Eugene. The point I'm making is this. In that 10-year period of time, the representation has been obliterated in our community. We have people who live in the Churchill area, and in the Willamette area, and in the North Eugene area, and the Sheldon area, who are not being represented appropriately based on the one-person, one-vote. You, as part of state law, have to do that in a way that doesn't consider the incumbency of the person, doesn't dilute or improve based on political needs or concerns. People who are elected to office in Eugene are elected on a nonpartisan basis. And I think that's a great way to do it. I want it to continue that way. But I'm not naive. Constituents who have certain interests or concerns, both their interests or concerns. When you look at the city of Eugene and you do not need natural boundaries, you are doing a disservice to the citizens of Eugene. And I'm talking about that word. I happen to be a business person. The business people have so much access to government, it's unbelievable. I'm worried about the citizens. I just, before I got here today, stopped in the satellite library that we opened within the last year in the government area. And I talked to the manager of that library. And the power thing is going into the great, you know, over 500 new library card holders that have never used the library in downtown Eugene. And their comment was, I don't want to go across that darn bridge. Now, it is not a tough thing to do to go across that bridge, but the point I'm making, the people who live north of the river have concerns that relate to the people living north of the river. We're going through a big controversy in our community right now about whether our hospital ought to be able to relocate from its current location to a location to the north. Now, the people who live in the south end of town, near that hospital, certainly have concerns. If you want to get to the hospital within a 4-minute time period, which is what you're supposed to do if you're going to be safe from the heart attack, and you live in the south end of the hospital, be close to you. I understand their concerns, and I try to represent all of the citizens of D.C. But if you live in the better area, you can't get to the hospital within 4 minutes. But the new hospital might be closer to you. The point I'm trying to make here is there are natural boundaries. Make the decision you all are going to make with regard to state representatives and state senators based on the natural boundaries. Take the politics out of the program. Hopefully you're going to hear from some representatives of the League of Women Voters in a few minutes. And I can't tell you how pleased I am that they were willing to do that I've requested of them. I tried to find an independent body of people in the city of Eugene that could talk about redistricting wards. It has nothing to do with state representatives or state senators. I didn't want the politics to get in there. I didn't want it to be the Chamber of Commerce. I didn't want it to be the home builder. I didn't want it to be the no-vote group. I didn't want it to be et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted it to be a group of people who identified that the priority of redistricting ought to be. And then bring to the city council and have them deal with that from that perspective. I hope that you will allow me to send a packet of material that includes their recommendations, as well as a number of different items. I'm going to send you a map showing you where the city council and the planning commission members and the U.S. Minister are. I'm going to send you maps showing where the police precinct requirements are. You'll notice they follow natural areas. Maybe there are areas, rivers and ridges and mountains. Now I'm going to show you something to talk about our neighborhoods. Our community is divided into neighborhood groups. They all follow natural areas. When you pass, or whoever passed, the law that requires the federal government or the state to work it, said that you should not gerrymandered, they made a wise decision. I would urge you to do the same, regardless of which political party you represent. It is important for people like those people who live out in the rural areas, but it is also important for people who live within the community and geographic areas of our city to be to have representations that are concerned about their concerns from their geographic areas. And I'd be happy to answer questions, and I thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. We do have a question. Representative Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question, Troy. I appreciated your testimony. but I just wanted to make it clear that you do know that we have to follow a one-person, one-vote criteria.
I hope you do. And I hope you do that. But when you do that, there are opportunities to adjust our areas, council representative district areas, and senate areas, that will in fact make it more compatible with common areas of interest than they currently are. I'll give you a perfect example. Representative Walker represents the north of the river, represents an area called Winter, and represents the University of Oregon, a portion of the University, maybe all of them, I'm not positive about that. Those are not normal communities of interest, common interest. They're all important, but they're not the same. A University of Oregon student and another that lives near Gillum Grade School at the far north end of the city of Eugene do not have the same concerns and interests. And you have an opportunity to meet with your district in there to take that into consideration. And the natural boundaries, in fact, provide you a tremendous opportunity to do that.
Just a brief statement for the audience. Although we have not established a specific criteria, I think it's been a general discussion that we're discussing a criteria that would put districts within 1% of population of one another. Mm-hmm. And for congressional districts, unbelievably, we have to get them within a handful of people for each congressional district to meet the requirements of the law.
Mr. Mayor, good to see you again. It's been a long time since we first met. I think it was pre-political days for certain, and we were both a couple of happy-go-lucky radio guys. Well, I wish I'd... Thank you. Next to testify will be Floyd Prozanski, our former colleague. Hi, Floyd.
Committee members for the record, Floyd Prozanski, publicly represented in this office of Florida. Also, my name is Mark Sutton, I'm an attorney, and I live here in the meeting for almost 17 years. I want to give you a little bit more background about myself for my services to be in better context. Prior to moving to Yale, I was in Houston and worked for a very large law firm in Colbert, Florida. Approximately 3 to 4 years at that time, I specialized in demographic work. And I used my skills that I learned in my undergraduate career of looking at lawsuits and involved populations, persons of color, and fighting in landfills. This information came and gave me the opportunity to really work over about a 60-year period of time in the frame that we were looking at to determine what had happened as to the physical landfills in Pierce County, which is part of the area where Houston, Texas is located. And we then used systems locked out. We looked at natural or artificial boundaries and determined into what made up neighborhoods, communities of interest, and also looking at how these areas have evolved once the landfill has been decided to be an area. As you know, and as Representative Devlin said, we have certain test criteria that need to meet. And one of the areas I studied at the time was Ashton Church and Key is one of the best and fairest of all individuals in the state. And looking at how we are going to make the line and how they're going to be home. Community of interest is one area that we need to look at very strongly. I also believe that we and should consider natural as well as artificial boundaries. They themselves should not be the dictator of the counties online. The purpose for that and the reason for that is because sometimes these boundaries that some people call could actually be a collector or a uniter, something that brings areas together. And I think I'm going to disagree with the mayor to get his perspective and want to sort of keep him in perspective as to what the difference is in these areas. He's brought out the very end that he thinks that the University of Oregon student as compared to someone that's on the north end of the city or two separate communities. Not only agree with that. That is why those districts or those individuals are represented in separate districts today. Representative Barnhart, who is my position in District 40, actually represents the University of Oregon. That is the South, and he's working with Eugene and Zedco and extending some of the rural areas that surround Eugene on the South Line, including the city of Woods, the Goshen, as well Hills, Miami Heights. On the other hand, the question from Mayor Torres brought up was representing the Walters area, which is going north. I would tell you that I think Mr. Weicker has a very good point about economic core. And this is why I think the newest of the Willamette River is a uniter and not considered a divider. When you look at the map, look at how the gist of the economic growth in this community has gone. You can see and pencil in how the river has actually been a collector and is more of a simple focus point for the area. And I will tell you that in my review of the data that I've seen up to today, you can say the what is east of the university and what the State Park Hospital is, which is another building in the campus, and you can basically retain the visit that is currently there, this is the only one, and you will fit in the economic core that would include the State Park Hospital, it would include downtown, both ways, if you're on the other side of the river, directly on the other side of the river, there's an area of community of businesses, known as Austin Road, or Country Club Road. And that is the 10 points of right there next to the river. Going out, you have Oakley Mall, and further to the north and further to the west, you also have another river center. You've also seen extensive growth to the north of that district in the area known as Chad Road. This is north of the Beltline, off of Fuller Road. And if you look at that district, you will see how the economic core all is set forth and how it's integrated in one place. I also bring out the notion of the extension of the county June, which is what I consider an education core of higher education. You have the University of Oregon as well as 19 mini colleges within that area. And I can tell you from my representation of that area for 6 years that there is a disinvestment from it as compared to business. Clearly, many businesses believe and understand the need for higher education and advanced degree work. But at the same time, there are differences in what their particular businesses are and what their needs are. And so they do deserve the right to be represented by individuals or members. Now, therefore, I'm not a great economist, we've worked on many issues, and I would tell you that if you look at the material that people have sent to you, you're going to be looking at a breakdown and a breakout of representatives for city governments. And the numbers and the population are completely different than what you were charged with. Clearly, if you know from your travels, you have many of
Bob Avery, please.
Good afternoon, Chairman of the Committee. My name is Bob Avery. I live in Central City, Georgia, and I'm currently the Chairman of the Lincoln County Republican Party. There's a lot to be done with this pre-existing, as I'm sure we're all understanding. I would also strongly agree with the mayor that the natural boundary of the river is a very natural dividing line for the redistricting. I've also urged that we consider the community of interest and not split them up as they currently are. We have within the city the Whitaker neighborhood, and that should be made whole. Right now, it's currently divided between three different districts, and that should be made whole. That's currently south of the river, and another thing should be added to the district that would be south of the river.
And I can tell you my representation better for 6 years, but there is a distinct difference from it as compared to this. Clearly, community businesses believe and understand the need for higher education and advanced degree work. But at the same time, there are differences in what their particular interests are and what their needs are. And so they do deserve the right to be represented by individual representatives. Now, Mayor Ford and I have very willing to work on many issues, and I would tell you that when you look at the material that people sent to you, you're going to be looking at a breakdown and a breakout of representatives for city governments. And the number and the population are completely different than what you were charged with. Clearly, as you know from your travels, you have to make up about 67,000 individuals. And Senate districts will have to be two council seats for about 114,000. So you need to be looking on a broader perspective and at these larger communities of interest when you're making your determination. The other thing I would ask you to be cautious about is looking at the mix between rural and urban. I think you never want to be some time even if you're concerned for your first time to occur on House floor. And it seems to me to make me certain that these various communities of interest throughout this state are represented and have a voice. And if you start dividing out a city such as Eugene and giving so much of it to be in one district that is going to also be impacted within a very large rural area, I will ask you the question is whether or not each of those individuals are going to be able to have their voice heard in that type of concept. So I believe what you should be looking at, what is already in existence as to what the districts are today? What changes need to be made to evolve in the line and the guidelines of getting to the population that you need? I would tell you, I would pick the, you know, one. Look at the area that you currently have, build on it, subtract from it as you need to, but please do not come in and rewrite and redraw all of the districts here for whatever purposes or whatever issues, because you have a great baseline right now. All you need to do is make a simple adjustment to make certain that within the bounds of representing each and every person so they can have that voice being heard in the state council. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. Any questions? All right. Thanks very much. Bob Avery, please.
Yes, sir. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Bob Avery. I live in Junction City, Georgia, and I am currently the chairman of the Lincoln County Republican Party. There's a lot to be done with redistricting, as I'm sure we're all understanding. I would also strongly agree with the mayor that the natural boundary of the river is a very natural dividing line for redistricting. I've also urged that we consider the communities of interest and not split them up as they currently are. We have within the city the Whitaker neighborhood, and that should be made whole. Right now, it's currently divided between three different districts, and that should be made whole. That's currently south of the river, and another thing should be added with the district that would be south of the river. As the District 40, as you've heard, includes much of the core of the city, and there's a very strong argument for why that core area should be divided from the rural area in the south of that. So we've urged that you divide off the rural area south of the 40. As the 40 could also more reasonable to be moved to the north, to include the South End of River Road, which is already slated to be part of the annexed to the city. And there's currently a division line along Blair. Blair is not a natural division. That is, in fact, right in the middle of the natural community, right in the middle of Worcester neighborhood. So again, we urge you to consider moving that and putting Worcester neighborhood together. The university district has, former representative eloquently said that it should be made whole. Right now, the current district lines split the university, and the dormitories are in one district in 40, and the fraternities are in 21. We would urge that they all be included in the community and make that truly an educational district. The rural split off of 40 could be joined with other rural districts that are south of there. It's not reasonable to see what Goshen and Glen Heights have in common with downtown Eugene. There is another reason why we urge the splitting off of the rural part of the Western Square. It's very reasonable to extend, in military division, you pick up additional population. It's reasonable to extend Atlas, what's currently known as Atlas 39 and 41 north into Lynn and Bennett counties. These are more rural neighborhoods, farm neighborhoods, and they would be a natural fit for what would be, if we use the river as a natural boundary. You currently have a precedent of both the LCC and the Brooklyn Congressional District extending north in this fashion across county lines. As far as when we get to the second line of the seven districts, we would urge to compare 39 and 41. After 639 and 41, make up that seven district. It's generally considered the North Eugene area. Currently, that area is included and has been the part of the same kind of efficiency ever since that North Eugene kind of efficiency was established. That had been a natural community interest. That's District 42 and 40 to compare. Again, they are community interest in urban downtown areas of both Springfield and Eugene. And then 43 and 44, as they are rural, substantial rural areas, and they're more naturally together. The other pairing, we've seen in different news articles about comparing other, different local dignitaries, asserting that we should have other pairings within the newspaper recently. The pairing that I've seen in the paper maximizes the differences rather than bringing the differences together. So we again would urge in 40 and 42 that the natural urban area, 39 and 41 make a natural mixed urban area, and 43 and 44 make a natural rural area. That's the gist of my remarks. Are there any questions?
Any questions from the committee? Thanks very much for your testimony, Mr. Avery. Our next to testify will be Pete Sorensen.
Very much. My name is Pete Sorensen. I'm one of the five Lane County Commissioners, and my office is across the bridge here at the Lane County Courthouse. That's 125 East 8th Avenue, meaning 9401. First of all, I wanted to thank you for doing this road tour of hearing from citizens around the state. Certainly, having this hearing in Lane County gives everybody a chance to learn more about what you're doing and the difficulty in which you have to do it. I thought I would take a few minutes to describe some of my own background before I get into some of my remarks. I've had an interest in politics and public service, and in particular the narrow issue of redistricting for a long time myself. My bachelor's and master's degree at the University of Oregon in geography, and wrote my master's thesis on political demography in our state. So 25 years ago, I had a big interest in this. Updating that a little bit, was by 1980, the Lane County Board of Commissioners appointed me to their Lane County redistricting task force to redistrict the five Lane County Commission districts. And as I looked over the group of representatives present, I grew up in District 47, and I first, when I left Coos County, I went to District 41, and then as my income improved, as I became a lawyer, not that there aren't plenty of nice lawyers in District 41, but I moved into South in District 40. And I didn't have the distinct privilege, like you do, of being in the legislative assembly and did serve in the 40 in the state senate for 4 years. So I'm interested in what you're doing. And let me give you a couple of responses to some of the demographic problems we have in terms of districts that have grown and some that haven't grown enough to really get that add in the minute. The first is on our little problem here in the northern end of Lane County, and you heard this earlier. We have a problem that I'd like to bring your attention to, and it all helped us solve it, Greg, and that is that the northwest corner of Lane County, and it's almost entirely unincorporated, is a little bit of and I'll just use House District to keep it simpler. District 4 comes down into Lane County. And since you're going to have to add people to District 47 anyway, you might as well at least try to come up to our county boundary so we don't have to cope with another representative and another senator when we do county-level things. So that would really help us out, and I think it would make some clarity, because that district goes all the way, the Senate district goes all the way from Northern Lane County all the way up to Houston Peninsula. I mean, it's really a very odd-shaped Senate district that goes all the way up there. So I think you can cut that off and add that to District 47. That will also solve our problems that you heard from some of our kind of residents that testified earlier. The other thing that I wanted to bring your attention was the difficulty that we have in dealing with the boundary of District 40, 43, and 41. And specifically, and all the representatives of those districts are right here, so I'm sure they're all very familiar with some of the issues involved. But I would take the view that since you need to add people to District 43 and you need to take people away from District 41, you need to add people to District 40. Maybe the way to do that is to move District 40 further to the west, because that is all part of South Eugene. And right now the boundary is a rather artificial boundary. City view. And that will also help with another point that I would like to make, and that is, when I made the transition from state senator to county commissioner, one of the things that became very odd here was that District 43 comes into city view, where the county board of commissioners boundary goes further out west of the team. So if you put all of that into South Eugene, all of that into the District 40, you would tend to solve that problem. You're going to then aggravate the problem on the northern end. My solution to that is District 39 needs to lose people, District 43 needs to gain people, we could lose both people in that district. With regard to the issue of downtown Eugene and central Eugene, I take the view that if you think of the economy, the communities of interest that exist between the areas that are currently in District 41, all you have to do really is make minor boundary changes. You don't need to go to the extreme that was suggested earlier that Mayor Porter was talking about. I take the view that we need to make sure that downtown Eugene is in District 41, that the business community that is present in the areas of Valley River Center, downtown Eugene, the hospital, and all the way out to the Chad Drive area, all seems to be kind of a blended area with a community of interest. I wanted to talk about a couple of other things. One is that a District 40, in my view, should be an urban district, and to the extent that you need to add people to the two rural districts, you want to call two substantially rural districts, 44 and 43, you could take off the rural part of District 40. I think our the chair of Lane County Republican Party talked about getting rid of the rural part of District 40. You could add that into District 44. In my view, having represented that area, South Eugene, with its professional, managerial, business, university community, has less in common with Goshen and Stephen Wood Road and other areas that are on the periphery, the rural periphery of District 40. And really, District 40 is an urban district, and I think it should remain an urban district. I mentioned about the county government and its relationship capital. We have five commissioners in Lane County, each of whom represents one-fifth of the county population. To the extent you can, if you can keep our representative and senator district within one county, or at least one county and one maybe to the south, or then it would be a lot better than the current multi-county representation. And to the extent you can intersect with our process, or the city process, the Eugene process, I'd like to refer to you, but the timeline you gave is a very good timeline to intersect with local government, because our current Lane County redistricting effort, mainly for the benefit of Lane County residents that are here, it has been appointed by the Lane County Board of Commissioners, a committee of seven citizens, to advise our Lane County Board of Commissioners, and that intense work will actually begin in April. So if you finish by May, we can then, instead of me asking you to kind of work with us, you can go ahead and make the decisions you need to make based upon community of interest, and then we will be able to use that information as we move forward. So I'm glad to hear about that. And last but not least, we haven't heard much about the issue of the congressional district, but I'd like to give you a few thoughts I have on that, having studied that. And one thing is, the second district needs to lose about 17,000 people. The fourth district needs to gain about 50,000 people. So one way, and I have not discussed this with Representative Walden or Representative Fazio specifically, but one way to solve the District 2 problem, the U.S. House District 2 problem, is to drop the boundary down or in on the 4th District and take that 17,000 population balance away from District 2 and move into District 4. If you look at the map, the current map, you see that on the northern end that District 4 goes all the way up to the Polk County line, Denton Polk County line, and goes all the way up to the river, the San Diego River, to divide the Marion County from Lynn County. One minor tweak that I would have there would be to consider that canyon to be a community of interest. The river, in fact, is not as rivers, roads, and streets. In my view, roads are uniters in rural areas. Streets are dividers in city areas. So in this instance, both of those communities up to San Diego Canyon, I think, have more in common with each other than they do with the heart of the congressional districts where they are currently in, namely Salem, Oregon City, in the case of the Marion County side of Canyon. And incidentally, I would probably prefer to go to Lynn County and Marion County officials if they put a different view, but I think in practical sense that those people ought to be in one congressional district, because when Representative Kapski was in Congress a few years ago. He told me, you know, you go to some holy town meetings up that canyon and people, they don't know what congressional district they're in. I think it was made more simple how to solve that problem. And the bigger issue is, where does the 4th District get the rest? I mentioned the 17,000 in the 2nd District. Where does it get the rest? And again, if you look at the map, the current map, if you adjust the boundary of the 4th District within Bend County further north, you will then be able to solve the problem of where does the 4th District acquire, if you will, more land area and more people. So that would be a way, at least, to solve that problem. Now I realize you have a bigger objective, which is to solve the whole puzzle, not just two pieces of it. But I think that the way the demography looks in terms of the tremendous growth in Washington County, you're going to have to center the congressional district around Washington County as it is. So I think that might help you in terms of where you make that. Now, in terms of where in the 4th district do you do that, I would probably just opt for just going down the freeway to pick up those 17,000 people, someplace between Roseburg and Grants Pass to solve that problem. And those are pretty much all. One other thing, just as we have in Wayne County the rural problem that I mentioned about District 4 and the District 43 area on the northwest corner, we also have an urban problem I think does need to be solved, and that's over to the west of downtown Eugene. It's called the Whitaker area. And the Whitaker area is actually in three representative districts, 41, 40, and 39. And as was mentioned, Blair Boulevard is the divider between two Senate districts, and yet it's a well-known, established, and historic community. I encourage you to try to put that into one district rather than having it all divided up. And thank you so much for all your attention and interest in this, and especially the field hearings. People really appreciate that. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I wish you the best of luck in your arduous journey, and I hope you succeed with getting a plan that can be approved.
Thank you, Mr. Sorensen. Appreciate that. Representative Hayden, I think you're under some time constraints, do I understand? And if that is correct, I should probably give you an opportunity now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I too want to thank you for bringing your committee here. I believe this to be one of the major issues that will come before the 73rd Assembly. And I commend you for your due diligence, and I have great confidence in your work. For the record, my name is Cedric B. Hayden. I'm a representative from District 43, which is West Lane and North Douglas County. This is my seventh non-consecutive term in the legislature. It is the third reapportionment in which I have participated. As I say, it has in each one of those decades been a major issue. I joined with the other speakers, such as Commissioner Sorensen, to urge that you maintain the rural districts in this part of Oregon. I speak specifically to Senate District 22, and I have the map before me here, which is House Districts 43 and 44. These have a good community of interest, and they have a long historical precedent, to my knowledge, going back some 20 years. They have a community of interest, and if you have a map that you can see on page 2 of your handout, they have transportation links that link them together. For example, you will see the Highway 26 goes from the coast to the crest of the Cascades. That links kind of District 22 very nicely. We have I-5, which goes to the south, linking the Senate District to the south. It has good media coverage. The radio, the TV, the newspaper coverage and links make it a community district. Also, it is an agricultural community. It produces, it joins with the rest of Oregon to produce some 200 agricultural communities that add billions of dollars to the state economy. Products such as hay, pears, beef, dairy, nursery, greenhouses, poultry, sheep. I try to count the sheep ranges left from our food district, and they were practically innumerable. Hazelnuts, not to mention, of course, Christmas trees and woodlots and timber. One of the tasks that the legislature has adopted, although it's not a federal mandate or a state mandate, is not to cross the crest of the Cascade. From 1970 to 1980, the Mid Valley District did cross the Cascade. For example, it ran to San Diego and Savannah. That's probably not a natural community interest. I would encourage you to keep the golden line down the crest of the Cascade. The coastal districts have some community of interest. Their maritime issues are somewhat different than the inland interests, and I would encourage you to keep the coastal districts. And as another speaker mentioned, you can push population up and down the coast to achieve the numerical balance that you want to have. So, even though the rural districts must become very large because they are somewhat sparsely populated, they still work together very nicely. And I want to show you just from a historical point of view what the district looked like from 1981 to 1990.
District 38, it was called the Helicopter District, and it went from Lookout Reservoir in Lane County to Canyon.
Oh, great.
Very large rural. I had the privilege of representing that district for 6 years, and except for the 100,000 miles I put on my car, it actually functioned pretty well. We had very few complaints. I knew that it was a feeling that they were disenfranchised by being such a large district.
Being disenfranchised by being such a large district because of their common agricultural interests. So, Mr. Chairman, committee members, I will stop that one.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. Kathy Eaton, League of Women Voters, Lane County.
Welcome to the Dean Dakota of Union League. For the record, my name is Kathy Eaton. I'm from NDG, and I'm representing the League of Women Voters of Lane County. The League is a nonpartisan political organization that studies and acts on governmental policy issues and encourages informed citizen participation. We very much appreciate this opportunity to comment on the important subjects that we just have given you all in our sector, and we commend the committee members for providing this community forum across the state. And by way of personal background, I served on the Secretary of State Youth-Lane 1991 Commission over the CPI of the 1991. And that was the first time that there was available a computer-generated map system, which was very helpful, and we needed lots more than that this time. Lane County is one of the state's strategic areas, which has experienced significant growth during the past decade. And in other growth places in Oregon, the population increase has not been evenly divided throughout the county, nor in the incorporated cities. This means that new boundaries for legislative districts must be carefully drawn to recognize the population shift without destroying natural neighborhoods and communities of interest. If each house district is going to increase from approximately 47,000 to 15,000 persons, 57,000 persons, It is to be accepted that the district which accomplished the union threshold to obtain it significantly. Some shrinking in area size to accommodate the population changes. The league supports the redistricting criteria that calls for consideration of transportation links, the use of existing geographic and political boundaries, continued withdrawing, and equal population. We fully support the principle of one person, one vote. In 1999, the maximum deviation of Oregon military districts was less than 1%. Equity of representation in the legislature is the basis for reapportionment and thus a fundamental tenet of democratic government. While we recognize that Oregon law does not specify a specific percentage of maximum deviation, it does provide that each district may be equal in population in their in every way that is practical, and it needs to support only a small deviation percentage. For this reapportionment process, the legislature has available state-of-the-art software for examining large amounts of spending data, which will enable the plan to consider down to block considerations. We will be carefully monitoring the process and the outcome in the interest of applicable legislative recommendations for the next decade. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Eaton. Good to see you on your home turf for once. Thank you. Next up will be Pete Kilger, District 43.
That there was available a computer-generated map system, which was very helpful, and we had lots more than that. Lane County is one of the state's strategic areas which has experienced significant growth during the past decade. As in other growth centers in Oregon, the population increase has not been evenly divided throughout the county, nor in the appropriate cities. This means that new boundaries for legislative districts must be carefully drawn to recognize the population shift without destroying natural neighborhoods and communities of interest. It is each house district is going to increase from approximately 47,000 to 50,000 persons, 57,000 persons. It is to be expected that the district which accomplishes the union Springfield will obtain it significantly, some shrinking in area size to accommodate the population changes. The league supports the redistricting criteria that calls for consideration of transportation links, the use of existing geographic and political boundaries, continued withdrawing, and equal population. We fully support the principle of one person, one vote. In 1999, the maximum deviation of Oregon legislative districts was less than 1%. Equity of representation in the legislature is the basis for reapportionment and that's a fundamental tenet of democratic government. While we recognize that Oregon law does not specify a specific percentage of the maximum deviation, it does provide that each district should be equal in population in year in every way that is practical, and a league will support only a small deviation percentage. For this reapportionment process, the legislature has available state-of-the-art software for examining large amounts of spending data, which will enable the plan to consider down to block considerations. We will be carefully monitoring the process and the outcome in the interest of equity of legislative recommendations for the next decade. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Eaton. Good to see you on your home turf for once.
It's nice to know I have a great talking to you.
Thank you. Next up will be Pete Kilger, District 43.
Great.
in terms of maintaining the rural nature of these communities, you know, they are, District 43 and District 44 are, you know, the rural bit, and will remain, and that is kind of interesting. Looking at the population numbers, as we do, and as I have, the those districts, District 43 and District 43, 44 will have pressure from the south. The those districts, the representative urban district will need to grow, will have pressure from the west, possibly from the same region. And to maintain, I think one thing that people think about is the southwest regime, the supported possibly in some rural district, rural part of that district, to put into the 44. Some of the boundaries of the southeast and the southwest would be maybe moved between the two districts, 43 and 44 as well. But to bring into perspective, to balance the population and the services, District 43 will have to need more. That's quite likely. We apparently have, within the rural district, many small communities and small cities, Dark City being one of them. And a common community district with Dark City is the downtown Paris, which is divided by the land river, has been demonstrated across the stream, right? When the bridge between the two communities is damaged and unavailable for years instead of weeks, that the two communities are very much mixed. People, the working community, Jackson City, most of them living in Harrisburg, by purpose, Harrisburg residents, planning and entering the services in Jackson City. And the bridge being out and the road interrupted, led to a 45-minute circuitous route to Eugene just to get to the other side. I think that I'd like to see that considered, and possibly your campus area, first, the southern boundaries of the north, you may have, and then may also be considered for me. We'd like to emphasize at least that the main event between the north and the territory, and maybe it's considered as a
Mr. Kilcher, thank you. James Rice, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the committee. I'm Jim Rice. I live in District 40 of Senate Park as my district representative. I've raised a couple of points here. I work in downtown. I'm an attorney. I also, to some degree, one of my business friends. At the beginning of my discussion of the river, I don't believe the river is in fact a dividing force. And if you were to look at the migratory patterns that have taken place in our community along the three-mountain system, there are two main issues that I'm pointing out. One would be on the use of the river that is regarded as in District 41. When it came time for them to relocate the remaining 41 by moving north of the river, it's an expansion essentially of downtown address and business unit. Sacred Heart Hospital is on the front page of the registry guard, a little paper discussing where it should be located. Rome is going to be one hospital, and not everyone's going to be 4 minutes time, no matter where it is. But it's in 41 now, it's planning, perhaps to move again within 41. So we can look at how the business, the large businesses in our community are in fact shifting around. They're staying within the continuous boundaries of what we're going to do today. I think that the river, which of course has a modern bridge, it's got automobile traffic, it's easy to get across, it's going to shopping. Some of the business supply stores are in the Oakway area and the Chatham area. So I believe people from downtown who are involved in business end up in that side again, so they have to do similar issues. In 40, we have the two educational components of our community. We have the University of Oregon and the Atlantic Community College. They are in fact represented by one person. I think it would be weaker if we were to stay downtown and pit the representative having to represent those two districts, or those two communities, or those kind of education business. I lobbied the legislature in 99 session. I remember having an appointment with a representative from Zampi that was representing the district when Mr. Frohmeyer showed up to talk to him, and it was a 900 pound gorilla coming in the room. And the University of Oregon shows up. The focus of that representative certainly is not on some other issues. So I think that having someone represent LCC, University of Oregon, distinct from downtown interests is important. Lastly, something that I don't think that anyone touched on was the difference between Springfield and Eugene. This was readily apparent when it came time to build a new courthouse in Eugene. A federal courthouse had a couple of site locations, and one was in Eugene and one was in Springfield. It could have gone to either one of those two places. There was intense lobbying by the mayors, the business community, a wide variety that sent citizens that they were bidding for this very, very fine project. And what became clear to me was that they really are separate communities of interest and the representatives for the
situation. Looking to.
That would conclude my remarks in the community.
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Thank you.
Last person I have on the sign-up sheet to testify is Jed McGuire.
Good afternoon. My name is Jed McGuire. I'm from the University of Oregon student. I'm the number 38. I live in District 41, one majority of university students living on campus. Majority of university students live in either the West University neighborhood or in the South Village University Towns Shake Village area. And I think if we were to split District 41 up, you guys look at area 1, remember, this would further dilute our already weak university students' voice within the state. I feel that having more than one representative, an additional representative representing students would be detrimental to all university students and, you know, greater higher education in the overall community. I feel that the river actually unites us and it really creates a community of interest. All the university students pretty much have the same goal, to get the best education possible. And I feel that with that, we should keep the boundaries similar to what they are now. It's about the same. And that's all I have to say.
Mr. McGuire, thank you for your testimony. I have no one else left on the sign-up sheet, and I would not want anyone to leave here unsatisfied. Anybody like to step up? You may not be on the list, but that's fine. Be happy to let you say your piece. Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your attendance all the way to the end today. Appreciate your testimony very much. Been a great hearing. Thank you. Committee, anything for the record? With nothing else, committee's adjourned.